Toys. How we love toys. This is Dr. Herbert Abarley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Here it is, a beautiful Sunday morning here in Campo, in the Absolute Monastery. And everybody is just soaking up the ideal weather, the ideal morning sunlight as it's filtering down through the pine trees surrounding the monastery dining area here. It is just glorious. The vineyards, the grape trees, the grapevines are growing up on the top of our roof here for our outdoor deck. And then they don't stop going outside. They come inside and run along the inside too. And the grass is so nicely mowed here. It just looks like someplace that where people really care about it. Many times the grass is not mowed, and it looks like someplace that's not cared about. But then again, c'est la vie. Oh, yes, we also have a visitor here visiting our bird feeder, where we feed our hummingbirds. And they come there, and they drink, and they drink, and they drink. And then we fill it, and they drink some more. I don't know where they think they get off this here. They're not leaving anything in the container there. They're supposed to leave coins in there so that it pays for their sugar, but they don't do it. But c'est la vie, you know, we're very generous people. Now, we all have toys. And a toy that I dearly love is a toy of words. And I love words. And if I were to write like I think, I would be very erudite. I'd be very iconoclastic. I would be very intellectual. I'd be very hard to read because I have an interesting vocabulary with all sorts of beautiful words and all sorts of beautiful ideas. Well, these ideas can sometimes be a little more complex than what you want to play with. Like, what's the word, Sylvia?
Phantasmagorical.
She says phantasmagorical as though it falls off her lips. And where did you hear it before?
In the children's movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Boy, she's in more trouble with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang than he does with phantasmagorical. I tell you, that just shows that the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is what kids really are into, and phantasmagorical is what the adult kids are into, maybe. But what do these words mean? All these words mean is one thing, a way of telling the story. Now, if I say to you, it was raining outside, you say, my gosh, you certainly made the understatement of the century. It's coming down cats and dogs. It's pouring down buckets. It's just the sky opened up and the whole patch, you know. And, well, okay, now what's another word describing that sort of rainstorm? The sky opened up and it came kapach. And you say, well, yeah, okay, but that's itself to a word that doesn't have any definition to it. It doesn't have any limit to it. It's like the ocean was up above us. We were underneath the ocean. Somebody put a hole in it and it came down on us, you know. Kaboom, kaboom. Now, why do we use words? We use words because we like to express ourselves. We like to tell what we're thinking, like to tell what we're doing, and tell where we're going and how we're going there. Now, in school, elementary school, high school, college, and university, and graduate areas, and in life generally, they encourage you to build your vocabulary. And they want you to build your vocabulary because it's so great. There is this story that took place in prison in China during the Second World War. And these prisoners of war were in their containment, and they were not allowed to associate with one another. They were given this sort of abuse where they were not allowed to talk to each other, not allowed to do anything. But the prisoners would not let that bother them. So the prisoners, being erudite men of much experience, men who have who were pilots and so forth, and they had received their degrees from the university, and they are educated people of a certain degree. They were not beginning students. They were educated people. So as educated people, they've been around the block. Now, what does being around the block mean?
They know it all.
You are from... Please?
Having been in many, many, various countries, lands...
They've had many experiences.
Yeah, that's all good. Now, you've been around... thank you. You've been around the block means that you are not stupid. You weren't born yesterday. Now, what does it mean not to be born yesterday? It means you've been around the block. So, you see, some of these things are sort of back and forth, but it's kind of fun. Now, using beautiful words to define those happenings is a great idea. Now, what does phantasmagorical mean? What does phantasmagorical mean? Anybody?
Fantastic, imaginative.
It means something outrageous, something unbelievable, fantastic, imaginative.
Magical.
It means something that is beyond the realm of the ordinary experience. Now, it means, it's to bring the word down, fantasy. It means, now some other simple word.
Magic.
Now some other simple word.
Delightful.
Some simple word.
Fantastic,
yeah. Now, you see, fantasy, phantasmagorical, all these things are lovely, but when you get words sometimes big, people, I don't know what that means. Instead of saying, oh, I know what that means. Now, we saw the spelling bee. And this young girl who was in the spelling bee had an amazing memory. And she was very excellent in school, very excellent in everything. She just quick as a whip, you know. She just remembered words and remembered everything. Well, she went to take the spelling bee and passed handily, you know, no problem. But at each level, she had to be more severe. She had to be more secure. She had to be more knowledgeable. She had to be more aware. Well, finally she had a tutor who taught her to prepare for the big test, the big one in Washington, D.C. The big spelling bee where only the people who were top spellers could be. Now, the spellers could ask, what is the etymology of the word? Where does it come from? You know, how is it defined? And what does it mean? And so forth, but not how it's spelled. So, her teacher taught this girl, who thought she knew it all, because she was so brilliant, you know, and she beat everybody else. And in that area, she was a snotty little kid. In other areas, she was a very loving girl. But in that area, my superiority, you know. And she had her nose so high in the air, she kept stumbling. But the thing is, her teacher sort of bumped it out of her, not by being mean to her, but by expecting the ultimate best from her and challenging her creative imagination. And he said, if you don't know the etymology of these words, if you don't know how they are formed, where they come from, what their background is, what language they're born out of, and how those words are spelling one thing in their native Greek or Roman or French or German backgrounds, whatever they may be, and what they mean in English, and why the meanings are different, and why the meanings are at all. Well, the little girl, little by little, began to realize that was quite important. And in the process, she almost became snooty like her compatriots. Her peers were also doing that, except for one little guy who just kept her balanced. One little guy who just kept her realizing, hey, it's fun. We're doing this for fun. We're not doing this. Sure, my mom and dad like it. Sure, they paid a lot to have me do this. And sure, I'd like to give it my best. I'd like to win. But if I don't, hey, so be it, you know, so be it. And his mother and father said, if he wins, good. If he doesn't, good. But he's got the ability to be good. And they want to give him every chance to do it. But they learned the etymology of the words. Now, if you are interested at all in the English language, you will take the first 10 or 20 pages of the dictionary and read it. And nobody does.
And it's tiny type.
But the first 10 or 20 pages of the dictionary has the etymological background of language, of the language that the English language comes from, and how it is formed and how it's developed, how words are made into words and made into meaningful words, and how words are sometimes misunderstood. But it gives you a virtual education in that. Now, I would say I love words, and I write a great deal. And I write easily because I do love words, and they come to me even when I don't even know what they mean. I use a word, and I say, I wonder what that means. You know, it comes to me. It says, put me down there. So I put it down there, and then I look it up in the dictionary. Oh, okay. And then I know what it means. Of course, you got to know how to spell it, too, which is an interesting challenge because many words sound like purview and preview and previous and stuff like that. They all are quite different. Is it P-E-R-V-U-E or P-U-R-V-U-E, or how does it come and what does it mean? Well, it means a general overall understanding of it. My goodness, why don't you just say general overall understanding of it? Because general overall understanding of it takes more word than and more time than the word purview, you know. And when I talk to my dog, I say sit, and he sits. If I talk to my dog and I say, Rex, I love you so, you're the nicest guy in the world, I think you're just so wonderful, now sit. Well, he knows he's got a love talk coming there, and he knows that I want only the best for him, and so when I say sit, he sits. But if I say sit, he looks up at me and says, you sure you mean that? You know. But then after a while, he sits. But what's he doing? He's listening for what the words mean. And the words mean different things to a dog than they do to a human. And the reason that they mean different things to the dog than they do to a human is because you are putting your emotional garbage in your word when you speak to your dog, but you're not doing that when you speak to a human. Mm-hmm. You say, Anita, would you like another cup of coffee? And Anita says, I'm not drinking coffee, thank you. A cup of tea would be just fine. Oh, you want me to go get you a cup of tea? No, I didn't. You wanted to give me a cup of coffee. Now I said, I drink tea. And then you say, well, do you want me to, I'm ordering you. I didn't even ask you to do anything in the first place. Now, you see, there's a whole lot of language going on here. Now, if I say to Anita, would you like a cup of coffee? She says, oh, good idea. I'll make myself a cup of tea. No discussion, no problem, no misunderstanding, no nothing. You know, she'll make herself a cup of tea. And I say to you guys, you say, Herb, what do you want to drink? And I say, well, nothing really. Well, can I fix you something? You know, because I want to fix you something. I mean, I'm here to fix something for you. And I feel good if I fix something for you. And if you let me fix something for you, I'll just feel so wonderful.
go ahead. I have a glass of water. I have a glass of hot chocolate. Something like that, you know.
And so you say, oh my goodness, you know, you make such a fuss over it. Well, this is what words are all about. Now, if my words were just to say, thank you, I am satisfied. Now, is that enough? Mm-hmm. Now, but is it enough for you? You want to serve. You want to do something. You want to be helpful. You want to bring something to Herb, you know, because Herb is such a nice guy. Herb is such a lovable guy. You want to bring something to him, you know. And then when you do that, you know what happens? You force yourself to be able to bring him something. And just as you arrive at delivering it to him, you trip and spill it all over his lap. And thank you very much, Mary Jane, you know. But these are the things we do when we don't learn to use the language. You say, my guess, all that because we didn't learn. That's right. Because we didn't learn to Now, if I say, no, thank you. And you say, oh, come on. Well, you see, you're not listening. If I say, get off my back, you son of a gun. No, thank you. You know, you get the message? Well, excuse me, I won't offer it to you again. I'm sorry. But if you could just say, no, thank you. In other words, thank you very much, but no, thank you. But Herb, I want to do something for you. Well, my clothes are in my dirty clothes basket. You can go wash them if you want. Or whatever, you know. But the thing is, we do that. We make a travesty which means we make a disrespect for language when we use it improperly. Now, what do you hear me doing when you hear me talk to Rex? Do I talk to Rex gently, lovingly? Do I talk to Rex as though I really love him and respect him? Do I talk to Rex when he doesn't pay attention firmly? Do I say, Rex, up, we're leaving? When he wants to lay there and stretch on the floor and just say, oh, I think I'll stay here tonight. No, you're coming home. It's not because you shouldn't be here, but it's because you should be at home with me. You are my guard dog. You are guarding me from the mosquitoes and the flies and the insects and the bugs, and you're guarding me from all the terrors of the night. You go out into the night and you find things that I have not the slightest idea what they are. Now, that's his language, isn't it? Now, I know when he's cornered a rattlesnake. I know when he is talking to a dog outside the fence. I know when a coyote's walking by, and it's a female coyote, and he's going, I want to go see you, you know. And I know when all these things, I mean, what the heck? I studied the language of animals all my life. We've had dogs and cats and everything else, and you get to know them after a while. But you see, that's a language too. Now, do you listen? Ellen says, her little love, here. I said, Ellen, did you stop to listen to the bark, not just hear it, but listen, and hear what little love has to say? Little love probably is saying, look, mosquitoes outside, look, bugs outside, look, whatever you creatures are, outside. This is my house, and this is my mistress, and I'm taking care of this place here, and I don't want any of you bugging around here, none of you. You know? Now, and if she would listen, she'd hear that. But she doesn't hear that. She's, oh, I wonder what the problem, No, he's just doing sentinel duty, that's all. He may be guarding you from something that's a mile away. and you'll never see whatever it is. And he won't either. But he gets a scent on the breeze, and he can smell it for many miles away even, you know. And you don't even begin to smell it because you're not trained for that. Piece of bacon in the frying pan, yeah, that you smell real nice. but an animal a mile away, no way, you don't smell it. You see, what is your language? What is your vocabulary? And what is the dog's vocabulary? What's the cat's vocabulary? When Ingeborg comes down to the Shangri-La and her Blackie sees her. Her Blackie says, Mama! And she rolls in the dirt and she says, here I am, come from my tummy. And she just sings and hollers and cries for Ingeborg. And Ingeborg says, all right, all right. I mean, it's hard for me to pick you up. Come jump into my arms, you know, like Samantha, you know. And so, I don't know, has she jumped into your arms? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if she trained her to do that, Jim. She saw Samantha doing that when she turned herself into a cat and jumped into Darren's arms. But you see, this is the fun. Language is such a fun thing. It's a toy. And when we make it a lovely toy, and we make it a toy, and you see, you think you're so smart because you can speak English and Italian and German and French and whatever, but can you speak dog? Can you speak cat? Can you speak mouse? In the movie last night, what happened when the mouse got caught? The mouse was a friendly little guy, wasn't he? I mean, here the minister is standing up in the front of the church and he's saying, Amen. I mean, he was a real clown. A real clown. He was such an unhappy guy. But I can understand why his wife left him. Mm-hmm. Why did his wife leave him? Because she wasn't speaking the same language he was. See, when he prayed inside himself, and he was one with his divine self. When she prayed, she was on display. She was part of the view for the audience. They looked at her, and they judged her, and they thought about her, you know. Now, that's tough. That's tough. Now, if her husband had taught her, hey, sweetheart, when you pray, that's our private time. It has nothing to do with the church. when you're done praying and the service is over, then we serve coffee and stuff like that, and that's different. But when you're praying, that's private time. Well, I don't like people looking at it. Look, sweetheart, I love you. You're the most wonderful wife in the world. And just because I'm the minister of the church doesn't mean you have to go to the church. You can stay home and take care of the house and do all the good stuff, and then when we come home, we'll have our party. But the thing is, the church is my job, and so I'm there. And that doesn't mean you have to be on my job. If every wife had to be on their husband's job, soon their husbands would have different jobs. You know? But so it is. Mm-hmm. Now, what made that church congregation fun?
Made the dog.
It made it fun when the dog entered the show. Mm-hmm. And when the dog came in, well, he just was cool. He was cool. But was he right or wrong? That doesn't matter. He was cool. And I did think the cop was overdone.
Yeah.
But that's just another one of those things. I thought the lady who was going blind was charming and really quite magical. But it was just great. Well, it reminded me very thoroughly of the Pollyanna movie, you know.
Yeah.
Where this little girl and her, of course, Pollyanna didn't have a dog, but this little girl and her dog went around making people happy and making people realize some nice things about them. And of course, they did wrap it all up in the end very quickly, but then again, they only have, it's a B-budget show, they only had so much money to spend and so much time to put it on film, so they had to wrap it up quickly at the end. But hey, you can wrap it up quickly at the end too. And all you have to do is say, it's wonderful talking to you. Have a lovely day. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.